don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me that song out of your soul that makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
For me with the 24-hour thing is some of the guests I've never spoken to before, so I didn't know if they were going to actually talk to me or whether it was just going to be like an hour of awkward silence, because that would have been shit. But am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. I like how I swear first and then check. No.
Yeah, it would have been really hard for me to do a podcast and not swear.
Mm.
Yeah. But if you want to start by, if you want to do an introduce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Do you have like an introduction to the show you want to do first, or is it, do we just want to?
Yeah, if you want to just jump in and introduce yourself, that'll be fine.
Okay. Well, I'm Stacey, talker of nonsense, and I think that's pretty much all I need to say. I do love talking, as most people know, because I'm on like all of the podcasts all of the time. It's good though.
Yeah, I keep finding you on one, so like every so often I'll be looking at one and your name will pop up on it.
I know, I am a proper tart. I actually recorded a podcast already. I'm talking about recording other podcasts, which is terrible, but I recorded a podcast about podcasting a couple of weeks ago, and one of the questions that the hostess asked was about how you promote the show and stuff. And I said, well, the thing is, like, I'm crazy British. I'm not very good at bigging myself up. I'm very stereotypically Brit in that sense, because I just go like, oh, it's all right, you know, if you want to listen to it, oh, don't listen to it, it'll be shit. So what I tend to do to promote my show is just go on to everybody else's shows and beg for their listeners instead. It's cheating, but it works, so can't argue with the results.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people do, actually, though.
Well, it's great as well, because it's really nice to just talk to people, you know, with similar interests and stuff, because I haven't got many nerdy friends round by where I live. There's, like, the odd one or two, but being able to sort of talk about, you know, all sorts of nonsense, what basically non-stop, is great. I actually need to stop doing so many podcasts, like, soon, though, because I'm not having time to actually read and watch things to talk about. Which kind of, I'm going on my own podcast going, I think I read a book once. Yeah, but it's fine. I'm sure people will get sick of me soon anyway.
So what was the first podcast you ever did?
I did a guest spot on as Listener of the Month on an episode of Geek Syndicate, which is a British geeky podcast by two guys that I actually met them online. I had a really super boring data entry job back in like 2005-6ish. And my hubby recommended listening to podcasts while I was there to stop me from, you know, getting so mind-numbingly bored that I'd go on a murder spree or something. So I started listening to Geek Syndicate and sort of following them about the forums, and they ended up having me on as a guest on their show. And I just, like, immediately got bitten by the podcast bug because, you know, like, the thing about podcasting is you think it's just talking to people and you don't think it's going to be quite as addictive as it is, and then you do it and you're like, oh, I want to do it again. So I was just like, I was sort of sitting there biding my time, trying to think a bit like, right, who can I rope in to do a podcast with me? And quite handily, my now very good friend Ease was a Listener of the Month on the following month's episode of Geek Syndicate, and you know, both of us being ladies, a lot of people on the Geek Syndicate forums are like, hey, you two should do a podcast because there's not many nerdy girls around talking about stuff. Because this was back in, like, I think it was 2007. So podcasts weren't, like, as massive a deal as they are now. Like, back then, like, every man and his dog didn't have one. So, a lot of people are saying, you know, there's not many girly podcasts out there. You should give it a whirl. So we did, and then since then people haven't been able to shut me up, basically.
Yeah, I'm going back and listening to all those, and I think I'm on like number 5 of racks right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about comic racks that I find quite funny is that, like, and it makes me laugh how easy it is to podcast, but also how easy it is to get it wrong, if that makes sense. Because, like, I can't listen to the old comic racks anymore because the sound quality on it just makes me upset that I ever thought that was acceptable. But, like, whereas now, it's like I'm not using, like, tons of technology. Like, I'm not sitting here behind a glamorous sound desk with, like, the world's fanciest microphone. I'm actually in bed with a laptop and a £20 microphone balanced on my knee. But, it's just so much easier now to make, like, good quality sounding podcasts without breaking the bank. So it just makes me a bit sad listening to old comic racks now. Plus, I've changed so much. It's really funny for me to hear. Like, because when we started comic racks, we were, I don't know about ease, but I was, like, really new to comics. I'd only been reading them for, like, a year or so at that point. And so I didn't really know what I was talking about. And I've said this on the show before as well. I'm really not fickle, but, like, I'm almost a bit too open-minded sometimes. Like, I'll read something and say it was crap, and then someone will explain to me the good things about it, and I'll go, no, you're right, it's a really good comic, and just change my mind entirely. So sometimes I'll listen back to old episodes and think, God, I can't believe I hated that, or I love that so much. And I was re-listening to, because this is, you know, sometimes when you get really bored and you want to stroke your own ego, you listen to your own podcasts. And then I was listening to episode 50 of Stacey's Pop Culture Parlor, which was the Batman versus Superman episode. And I was thinking, God, like, we were proper vitriolic on that about how shit that film was. And it's not that bad. Like, I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad. It's nowhere near as bad as we were making it out to be.
I think everybody caught on to that, though. Like, it was like everybody was saying it was so bad, like, nobody wanted to say anything good about it.
Well, the thing was, is I'd said to Rich when we came out of it that there were a lot of, like, really good bits in it, but the shit bits just totally outweighed them. But when I think it was because we were drunk when we were recording episode 50, we were only focusing on, like, the shit bits because we were so don't drink and podcast, guys. It's not...
So when you did that, and then y'all got your own podcast from Geek Syndicate then?
Yeah, so when me and he started doing Comic Racks in, I think, October 2007, and we started off on the Geek Syndicate feed, just mostly because we didn't know whether we were going to actually keep doing it. Like, we thought it might just be a thing we do a couple of times and then go, oh, actually, it's not for us, or maybe nobody's listening to it, so we just stop bothering. But I can't remember what episode it was. I think it was around, like, 15, 16, something like that. We decided to actually go off and get our own feed, just so that we could have a bit more sort of control over what we were putting out and when we were putting it out. And because as much as, like, Barry and Dave are super great people, they're also really busy. And so sometimes you'd send them an episode and be like, hello, here's our finished episode. If you could put it on the Geek Syndicate feed. And then, like, a week later, you'd be like, Barry and Dave. not to hassle you, but it's been we're a fortnightly podcast. So at least this way we had a bit more of sort of, you know, we could control what we were doing and sort of develop our own sort of separate brand. Because I think the other thing that was not a problem necessarily with being part of Geek Syndicate, but was you can't really tell your own sort of listener stats and, like, who's listening and who's not, because most people, if they were subscribed to Geek Syndicate, would just download us accidentally anyway because we were on the feed. So we had no idea of whether or not these people were actually bothering to listen to the show, or whether it was just like, oh, that's not Geek Syndicate, delete. We went off and did our own thing, and I think we did about 68 episodes in the end, which was great, because, like, one of the best things about doing a fortnightly podcast but having a regular co-host is that we shared the editing. So we only had to edit one episode a month because, like, one of the main reasons that the Pop Culture Parlor went to monthly when I started doing that by myself was because I knew I couldn't edit a fortnightly podcast and still have time to, like, have a life and read stuff and watch stuff because I'm really slow at editing. I don't know if it's because I'm really, like, perfectionisty and finicky, but it takes me, like... Like, an episode, we can record for, like, 2 hours, and it'll take me, like, 7 to edit that into an hour and a half episode, which is ludicrous. But, yeah, and I hate editing as well, so the less editing I have to do, the better, really. What were we talking about? Not editing.
No, it's fine. I found that, too, like, the more I do them, because when I first started, the first one, I was like, I'm not going to edit anything. Mm-hmm. And the more I found, like, oh, no, I want to edit this, and I want to do more and more, and it takes longer and longer and longer.
Mm. Like, I've just started a new sort of way of editing that's even longer, and I don't know why I've done it to myself, because now I can't go back to the old way, because this is definitely better. Because what I'm doing now, what I used to do was make a record in stereo, but make it a mono track and edit that. But now I'm keeping it in stereo so that I can... edit bits out where we talk over one another and stuff. So, like, I'll just like cut out the part where one of us is talking so that you can actually hear the other one, and it works, like, so much better, and then just make it mono right at the end. But it's so finicky because you have to keep splitting the stereo track so that you can, like, put silence over the one person, but then you have to make it a stereo track again so that you can, like, edit bits out without fudging up the timing, and it's an absolute nightmare. But it sounds so good.
Yeah, I lost the whole podcast once. I was trying. It was a mess of a one. And I was trying to move stuff around to make it more coherent. And it just disappeared.
Oh, no. Yeah, like, to be fair, though, I don't think you can call yourself a podcaster until you've lost at least one episode. It's like a badge of honour now. I've lost, I think, maybe 4. Which isn't too bad considering I've been podcasting for 9 years now. But, yeah. It's hard when you lose an episode, especially if it's one that's, like, really good. Because, like, if it was one where you were just talking to yourself, it's not so bad because you can just record it again. But I lost one quite recently that was with a group of 3 other people, and it was really funny. And I was like, I can't wait for people to hear this. It's going to be amazing. And then it disappeared entirely. Like, it was Skype's fault. Skype updated, and that made my third party recording thing just stop working. But neither program decided to tell me it was going to do that. So I just lost the whole thing. And then I couldn't organise those same 3 people to record again. And then I thought, well, even if I do, it's not going to be as good because we're going to be repeating ourselves, so it won't be as spontaneous or as funny. And then I just got really upset and recorded an episode by myself.
Yeah. I found those really difficult. I have 2 I'm doing by myself for the most part, and I found those really hard to do by myself.
Yeah, I try not to do them if I can help it because, as you're probably already aware, I ramble a lot. And sometimes I need someone else to keep me in check so that I'm not just, like, blathering for days. But also, I like to have responses and, like, discourse. Like, I find it really hard just talking to nothing. Like, just sitting in my bedroom talking at a microphone, like, are you going to answer me? Of course you're not. You're an inanimate microphone, but thanks for trying.
So was podcasting the first time you did something audio-related, like a project?
Yeah, it was, yeah, because, I mean, to be honest, you wouldn't know it from the fact that I haven't shut up yet, but I used to be, like, crazy shy. When I was a kid, I didn't have, like, many friends, and I didn't really go out and do stuff, so it was, like, the first thing that I did that sort of helped me come out of my shell, as it were. Haha, Turtles reference. And it was only because other people encouraged me, because, like, I don't feel like I've got a particularly, you know, good voice for radio or what have you. I'm not very eloquent. I do love a good swear word. I think it took 5 episodes before one of us dropped the C-bomb on Comic Racks, so, you know, that was quite good going, actually. I find podcasting much more comfortable than doing anything, like, in front of a camera and stuff, because I did do an interview for the BBC not long ago, and, like, when I was watching it, I was just like, oh, is that what my face looks like? Oh, no, why am I on get it off. So I do like podcasting for that, and I do think it's a really good way to just, like, meet so many people you never normally would. Because, like, I mean, yourself, for example, if I'd never podcasted, we probably wouldn't know each other. at all. You know, I've been able to interview some, like, quite famous people, actually. And I've not been completely terrible at it, which is good. I've got to say, though, the only interview I've ever done that I can't listen back to is when I interviewed Rob Paulson, who, for those of you who aren't voice acting groupies like I am, he was the voice of Pinky from Pinky and the Brain, and he was in the original Turtles and the current Nickelodeon Turtles and, like, about 600 other things. And that's not an exaggeration. He has got about 600 voice acting credits. Yeah, I was a nightmare on that episode. I threw up beforehand and then cried as soon as he hung up. Because I was so overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, it's Rob Paulson. He just said Narf. And freaked out. What are we talking about? I've gone off on one again.
That's all right. I know you're such a big fan of voice acting. Is that, you think, why you like podcasting and stuff too?
I think, it's possibly that. It's just, I suppose for me, it's more to do with communication than anything else, because I'm not very good. I'm quite a socially anxious person, so I'm not very good at sort of face-to-face, you know, interactions and stuff. And so podcasting is a way that I can talk to people. And I just find it easy. I don't know if it's because I'm not, like, right there and they can't see. I don't know what it is, but I think it's so much easier to talk to people on a podcast than it is, like, face-to-face. So I think it's more to do with that than anything for me. And that, and I just love talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may have noticed.
And what was your first time you did any voice acting? Because I know you're doing Ray Gunn's Starburst, right? You just recorded that. Was that the first time you did anything?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, prior to that, the only other thing I'd done was a little audition for a friend of mine. Danny Abram is an animator, and she's working on a web series. And I'd done the audition for that, which was literally just recording a little bit and sending it off to her. And thankfully, she loved it, because I didn't know this was a thing that you could do. Like, even though I love voice actors and stuff, like, I've never thought of myself as being anywhere sort of in the realms of talented with my voice. But she seemed to really love what I was doing, and that gave me the confidence to audition for Ray Gunn and Starburst then, because I don't know if you've listened to the first series, but it's a really good audio drama. You know, I'd listened to the first series and I thought, like, cool, blimey, considering these are all people who've done this sort of in their spare time as a, you know, passion project, it's, like, really well produced and really well acted, and the script is great. And so when they announced they were looking for some extra characters for series two, I thought, like, oh, I might just throw my hat in the ring. And I didn't think anything would come of it because, you know, listen to my voice, it's weird. But again, it was this was a bit weird because they did an interview, well, sort of audition over Skype, which was really strange because I'd never done anything like that before. We were reading a few scenes and everyone else was in character, and it was very bizarre and nerve-wracking. And I threw up before that as well. I'm great for throwing up from nerves. My stomach loves me.
I used to do that when I played baseball. I used to throw up before every game.
Yeah.
Which was kind of hard.
I was going to say, that's not going to put you in peak physical condition. See, that's the thing with podcasting. I can get away with it because no one notices that I've just done a sick. But yeah, so when they text me and they said, you know, like, yeah, you're on board, I was just like, ah, what? And recording that was great. I mean, it was a bit, the only problem with it was is that the only weekend they could get us all together to record was the weekend of my 5th anniversary. So I couldn't stay there for the whole weekend like we'd originally planned. So we did have to make sure all of my scenes got recorded first, and then I pretty much just ran away. So I didn't get to spend much time with the rest of the cast and crew and stuff, which was a bit of a shame because they're all really lovely people. Like, the thing I was most nervous about when we went to record that was, like, what if they all just think I'm a massive bellend and nobody wants to talk to me outside of the scenes? But it was great because we were, like, in a proper studio and I felt well important. It's funny because, like, you don't feel like it's work when you're having that much fun. And, you know, like, it's not – I mean, it's hard. I'm not going to try and make it seem like it's a piece of piss that anyone can do, because it's not. It's actually really difficult, especially if you're like me. Like I say, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and – I'm not very good at taking feedback. I try, but I'm very sensitive. I'm like a sensitive little butterfly, and I don't want people to tell me that they want me to do something differently, because that means I did it shit the first time around. But, you sort of have to get used to that and get a bit of a tough skin and just think, you know, well, this is the director, you know, they want it the way they want it. You've got to deliver what they want. So just do it, kind of thing. But I had so much fun. It was so, like, I don't know how much I can say about what we actually did, because the show isn't out yet. I don't want to spoil anything or have the director like give me a Facebook slapping. But it was so much fun, because I'm playing the villain of the show, and that's not something I'm used to doing at all. Like, even when I was at school doing, you know, performing arts and stuff, I was always either a background character because I was too nervous to be in the front, or I was always a very goody two shoes type character. So it was so much fun to play like an arsehole, like a crazy arsehole. Because it's so different to how I normally am that it was, I think that's why I'm gravitating towards voice acting as a thing, because the problem with acting in and of itself is that if you don't look a certain way, you can't have a part. Whereas when you're a voice actor, somebody could say, do you want to play a baby giraffe in this thing? And you'd be like, yeah, all right then. I don't look like a baby giraffe, but it's fine, because they only need my voice. Or it'd be like, oh, do you want to play, like, you know, the fact that Bart Simpson's voice actor is a woman, you know, yeah. it doesn't matter about your gender or your shape or your size or your colour. You know, there's just a part that needs filling. Who's the best person for it? And I think it's kind of great for that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that. I don't know if you watch South Park, but like the George Clooney episode early on when he's like a dog.
Yeah.
He just barks and that's it. And that's his whole girl.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And I think there's a sort of level to voice acting as well that, again, I think it's something people think is probably really easy, but it's actually really hard to act only with your voice. I actually got a bit told off when we first started recording Raygun and Starburst, because I was gesturing all over the place, and a couple of times I accidentally twatted the microphone, and they were like, you're going to have to stop doing that because you're ruining all of our takes by thumping the mic. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll try harder. Also, I had a slight problem because my boobs were knocking against the mic stand, which is never a good thing. But it was so much fun, and I'm now just like itching to do more of it. I keep sort of entering loads of competitions and like doing auditions for, so I haven't actually got anything else. Although that being said, Danny's doing another animated thing that I've got a voice in, so that should be good. I don't know when that's coming out though, so I'm going to shut up about it. But
well, I loved the first season of Raygun and Stargirl. I loved the commercials they had in it.
Oh, they are so much fun. And what I was really surprised by with those is that the ones we've done for series two, some of the cast literally just wrote those while other members of the cast were in the studio. So it wasn't like they were like, they're quite improv'd, and it's really funny. I can't wait for people to hear the one that I do, because I'm not going to spoil it, but I was sort of reading it out, and I was holding a laptop in front of me, so I couldn't see anybody else's reaction. And then as soon as I finished, I put the laptop down, and everybody was like literally crying, laughing in the other side of the window. And I was like, oh, I must have done a pretty good job. So fingers crossed everyone else finds it as funny. I'm really scared about this coming out though, because this will be like the first, unless this animation that Danny does comes out first, Raygun and Starburst will be like the first time my voice is like out there on the internet doing something proper rather than just, you know, ranting about Batman versus Superman on my own podcast. So I'm really scared about the reception that it will get. Like, I'm probably, pardon me, that was disgusting. Oh. Edit that out. What was I saying? I'm pretty sure the first voice that you'll hear in Raygun and Starburst will be me. And so I'm probably going to end up like trawling all over the internet to find out, you know, whether or not people thought I was good, which is probably a mistake. I probably shouldn't do it, but I'm not going to be able to contain myself.
Do you use your own voice in it, or did you do a different voice?
It's sort of a very sort of fancy British accent that I'm doing. Imagine if like a really posh, crazy head teacher was mental. Like that's the sort of, because my character's called the librarian and she runs this infinite library, and you know, the power sort of goes to her head. So I sort of pictured her as a very sort of prim and proper, like glasses, hair in a bun, pencil skirt, you know, very, very British, drinks a tea out of a china cup with a pinky in the air kind of person. So that's what I was aiming for with the voice. I don't know if that's what I hit, but, you know, the director seemed to like it.
Do you listen to many audio dramas?
Not as many as I should. The problem for me is that I no longer have a boring data entry job, so, and I have to actually like pay attention to things at work now, so I can't listen to them there. So the only time I get to listen to stuff is on the bus journeys to and from work, which aren't particularly long, and I'm subscribed to about 40 podcasts. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, so it gets really hard. So, I mean, sometimes I have to, like, I feel really bad, but sometimes I just have to, like, delete podcasts. Like, do you know what? I'm never going to get around to listening to this. And these ones, yeah, I feel really bad about it because I know how much I want people to hear my stupid thoughts and opinions. And so I do feel genuinely bad when I'm deleting podcasts, especially if it's one that, like, a friend has done or something. But there's not enough hours in the day. What I really need is like a job that pays me as much as I get now, but like to work 3 days a week or something. So then I can have like 2 days to just solidly read comics, listen to podcasts and audio dramas and books and stuff. I don't think that'll ever happen, but you know, I can dream.
So with you, I get back to how I first discovered you. I listened to the last two episodes of Comic Racks, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, that was when I first did it. And like, that's when I first heard you, and then I don't know how long it was between that and when you did Stacey's Pop Culture Parlor. Was it a long time in between?
I think it was about 7 or 8 months. Yeah. I don't remember exactly when Comic Racks ended, because it was the problem was the last episode we did wasn't meant to be the last episode we did, which you can probably tell because if you listen to it, we don't say anything about not coming back or anything like that. It was just life just sort of got in the way, and so we had to stop making it. And so, yeah, we just sort of rather unceremoniously just stopped without any real sort of announcement. So I don't actually know exactly when it was that we stopped, but I think it was about, yeah, it was about 6 or 7 months in between. And it was only because I went to a convention in, I think it was November 2011, and a couple of people who I'd never met before recognised me by my voice, and they were like, oh, I really miss Comic Racks, why don't you do another podcast? And I was like, that had literally never even crossed my mind. I was just thinking, like, because I'm a naturally paranoid person, I just assumed that everybody only listened to Comic Racks for ease and just tolerated me because they love ease so much. And so, yeah, they sort of put the idea in my head, and then I think it was the following February that I decided to start the parlor. Yeah, sorry, you were telling a story. Come on, Stacey, shut up.
No, I was just going back to that because, like, it was all the way back then when I was thinking about doing audiobooks, adaptions of some of my stories. So mm-hmm. it's taken me that long to actually decide to do it, because I was afraid to ask anybody, because I was listening to podcasts and I was like, oh, I'd like this person to do it or this person to do it, but I was always afraid to ask, you know, mm-hmm. if they would do it. And then when I asked you if you would do, it was originally just going to be like a promo thing. But I liked it so much when you did the first chapter. I was like, oh, my God, I got to see if she'll do it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think the thing with audiobooks and stuff, like, I can understand why you put it off. Because, like, even outside of just, like, being afraid to ask people, there's also the case of, like, these things are like your babies. Like, so much of your time and effort and love and even like a bit of yourself goes into creating these characters and these worlds. I mean, to a certain extent, it's the same with me and my podcast. Like, when I have an episode that I don't think is as good as others, I mean, I actually can't think of a time that it's happened for like ages, but sometimes I feel like I'm not treating my sort of creation with the right respect, and like I'm not doing it properly, and I get a bit all up in my head about it. And I think, so when you create a book, like, finding the right voice for it, and because it's difficult as well when you know somebody, if you say, oh, can you do this as a promo, and then I do it and it's terrible, like, how do you tell me it's terrible? So there's all these like anxieties wrapped around it of like, are they going to do a good job? If they don't do a good job, am I going to be able to tell them? You know, who else do I get if they're crap? Like, there's all this like stuff around it that makes it so much more complicated. And it's also putting your stuff out there as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I try really hard not to pay attention to the numbers and stuff for the podcast, because as long as I'm still having fun doing it, it doesn't really matter to me how many listeners there are, as long as I'm enjoying it and they're enjoying it. But sometimes it's really hard to get to that stage. Like, you know, when you first start doing these sorts of things, you really want everybody to listen to it and to love it and to want to be involved. So it's hard to just get up the courage to put yourself out there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would bother me, the low numbers on podcasting, if I wasn't used to that already with my ebooks and stuff. So I'm used to low numbers, so I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. Nobody's listening.
Well, the thing is, it's just really hard to promote yourself at the moment, isn't it? Because, you know, like I was saying earlier, like, every man and his dog has a podcast now, or, like, because of the different ways that you can self-publish and stuff, like, loads of people have books out, and it's not like it used to be where it was just, like, you know, you'd have to be with a big publisher and then you'd have a big book. Like, now there's literally, you could publish a book on your own website if you wanted to, but that means that you're the only person who's going to be going around and promoting it, isn't it? So,
yeah,
you know, it's not like having a big publishing house behind you pushing you into interviews and readings and all this sort of stuff, pitching you about the place. Like, you've actually got to do it all yourself, and it's really hard, because, like, I find it really hard to convince anybody to listen to my show, because I just think, well, you know, there's so many other pop culture podcasts out there that probably do a better job than me. I don't know why I'd try and convince people to listen to mine.
Well, I know on your 24-hour podcast, there was quite a few people that discussed the whole thing of trying to promote yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like that too. And, like, this year, I'm actually trying to do it more. Like, I've hired a number of artists to work on artwork for merchandise, and I'm trying to get out there and try to find different ways of advertising. But, like, that's not my natural thing to do, but you have to when you're doing it yourself.
Mm. Yeah, it is really hard, because I suppose the difficulty is, like, if you haven't got an awful lot of money to throw at promotion, you know, how much are you just sort of shouting into an abyss?
Yeah.
Because, like, the problem that I have is most of the promotion that I do is via, like, Twitter and Facebook. But most of the people I'm talking to on Twitter and Facebook are the people who already listen. So really, I'm just sort of preaching to the choir, aren't I? But, yeah, it's really difficult because... I mean, I don't know about you, but I sometimes get, and I try really hard not to, but I sometimes get, like, podcast envy, where, like, I'll see another podcast doing really well, and I'll think, well, you know, I'm almost as good as them. Like, why aren't I having, like, a prime example of this was a couple of months ago. I had a bit of a meltdown because a podcast that I follow on Twitter tweeted about how their latest episode had had 20,000 downloads, and I was thinking, good God, I haven't even hit 20,000 downloads on the, you know, 50-odd episodes I've done, like, as a whole. And I had a bit of a brain meltdown because I was like, how are they so much more popular than me? Like, what am I doing wrong? But then I just had to think, well, do you know what? Does it matter? As long as, you know, the listeners I've got are great, because, like, I would rather have a small fan base. Who do I think I am? Bloody hell. I would rather have, like, a small listenership that actually talk to me and, you know, engage on Twitter and in the Facebook group, and we can actually have discussions about things, than have, like, you know, 50,000 listeners but no one's saying anything.
Yeah, plus, numbers can be, like, inflated. Like, the numbers you see is not necessarily what they actually have listening and stuff.
Mm, that's true.
But I found that out about, like, downloads when it comes to books. Like, half of them are people that just downloads it and never reads, and then you got people that do.
Yeah, it's difficult because I don't know if there's any way, like, I don't know how technology works. I shouldn't be allowed a podcast because I don't really know how anything works. But there's got to be a better way of recording whether or not somebody's read something. But I suppose once it's downloaded, it's their business, isn't it? So I don't know. Don't know how it works. But there's got to be a way of doing it, because my mate was joking the other day about re-downloading all of my episodes just to give me better numbers, and then he was going to delete them. And I was like, oh, that's cheating. Doesn't feel right.
But that's no different. Big publishers, books end up on the bestseller list because they buy a huge amount when they first come out to get it on there, and then it drops off the next time the list comes out because nobody else is buying the book.
That's true, actually. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. All right, cheat away. like 53 times each.
So when you record the audiobook, did you find it different than doing like other voice recordings?
Oh yeah, I'm much less comfortable reading things out in my own natural voice than I am at playing a character, as it were. I think because like you would think that I'd be quite comfortable in my own voice doing a podcast, but those are like my words, as it were. Whereas reading your audiobook, like I'm really conscious the entire time that I want it to sound how you want to hear it. But I don't know how you want to hear it because I'm not you. So so I just have to sort of like do my best sort of, you know, how I think it should sound. But it does make me really nervous because it's at least when I'm playing a character, I'm almost sort of hiding behind the character, as it were, and hiding behind the voice as well, because you know, like one of the voices that I'm doing for Danny is a little alien schoolgirl with like too many tentacles in her mouth.
And so she sounds like this. And sometimes it's easier to do a voice like this because nobody notices when it goes wrong.
Whereas when you fuck things up in your own voice, it's like, what are you doing? That's just you talking. Stop being a twat. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I know what I'm trying. Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard, but fun still. I love being behind a mic. I always feel comfortable when I'm behind a mic, even if I am like a bit nervous and a bit, because some nerves I think are good anyway. Otherwise, you're just being an arrogant knobber, aren't you?
But, yeah. Can you switch between voices real fast?
Not really. No. I haven't got a repertoire of that many voices. Is the problem? Because I've got quite a distinct accent anyway, it's really hard for me to hide it, so I do have to think quite hard about it. But I'm quite lucky because I've never had to do any like jobs where I've had two voices, I could just concentrate on doing the one properly and not have to worry too much about it. But it always fascinates me watching people switch between voices. Like there was a video going around after San Diego Comic Con of like an improvised episode of Rick and Morty.
Yes,
and watching Justin Roiland swap between the two, because what I find really strange about him is that most of his character voices sound like Morty, except Rick. Rick is entirely different. Like if you listen to like Mr. Meeseeks or characters he does in other stuff like Gravity Falls, or he played a character called Ice Cube Head in Community, they all sound like Morty. And so Rick is like so different, and just watching him like switch between the two just amazed me. I was just like staring at him like, oh, you're so cool.
Well, I didn't know he did the same voice. So when I first seen it, I was like, holy crap.
Well, I did the same as well. I've recently started watching Gravity Falls and like blitzed through it in the space of about a week and a half. And I didn't realise that the creator of it, Alex Hirsch, does about 25 voices in it. And some of them are like of really different characters. I don't know if you know the show, but there's like he plays Grunkle Stan and a character called Zeus, and they couldn't have more different voices if they tried. And I was just like, as soon as I found that out, I was like, how do you even do that? It's amazing. I can barely do my own voice half the time.
Yeah, that show surprised me. I didn't know if it was going to be that good because it was a Disney show. And then I was like, holy crap, we watched it all in like one day, I think, because it was like really good.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't get over how good it is. Anyway, this isn't the Gravity Falls show.
But like, have you watched that documentary on voice acting?
Was that I Know That Voice?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I have. I was all over that. I was ranting for a really long time because it wasn't available in the UK straight away. And I was like, I don't want to do this illegally, but you're forcing my hand. But then it came out on iTunes, so I could. Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating to me. Like someone like Tom Kenny and like Billy West, just the amount of voices they have. And what gets me as well is how they have access to them like all the time. Like even a voice they haven't done for like 10 years, they can just pull it out of the hat, and it's just, oh, it's so amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm such a groupie.
I found it fascinating too, like because I'd never really watched voice actors before I watched that one time on Netflix, and I was like really stunned about how good it was, like the acting and stuff. Like,
yeah, and I think it's how different they can sound. Like I've got like maybe three voices I can do. And then when you're sort of watching them and you're thinking, oh crap, like this guy's like got like 70 different accents under his belt, let alone, you know, different voices. And because I can't, I don't know about you, but I can't do impressions like accents and stuff. I've got a really terrible Scottish one, but that's about it. So yeah, just like I just get absolutely fascinated by it. It's something I wish I was good at, and I'm trying to sort of improve, but I suppose that only really comes with like experience and practice. So I'm just basically now just throwing myself at anyone that will have me voice wise.
Well, I'll probably wrap this up in a minute, so it won't be so long for you. But is there anything you want to talk about, promote, or anything?
I've already talked about how shit I am at promoting, so I guess go and listen to my podcast. It's all right, isn't it? It's called Stacey's Pop Culture Parlor, and it's at popcultureparlor.podbean.com. And I suppose while I'm here, I will just push. I did a 24-hour episode in July to raise money for Alzheimer's Society, and that Just Giving donation page is still open, I think, for the next like 2 weeks or something. So if you've got any spare dosh and you want to, you know, kick Alzheimer's in its stupid face, please go to justgiving.com/SPCP Live 2 and give us some money. Go on, you know you
yeah.
want to.
Yeah, everybody should do that. Like, it's a good cause.
It's one of those things though where I was reading up after doing the show, and it was like one of the sort of contributing factors to getting dementia is lack of sleep, and I was like, oh shit. There I am staying up for 24 hours going, come on, let's all murder Alzheimer's and it's stupid. Oh, oops, I'll go to bed.
Yeah, I just don't see how y'all even did the 24-hour thing.
I'll be honest, it was really hard. Like, there was a period at one point where Barry looked at me and just started laughing, and I was like, what's the matter with you? And he was like, your face, you look like you might actually be dead. I haven't even got facial expressions anymore. It's hard.
Have you recovered enough to where you think you might do it again?
Oh, I don't know. Because the thing about the 24-hour show is that it's not just those 24 hours that are hard. Like, it took a good sort of 6 months, maybe more, of inviting guests onto the show and booking people in and trying to promote it and setting up the website and setting up the Just Giving. And, you know, there was so much more stress to it about those 24 hours are actually the easiest part of it, I think, because you get to just ramble away with a lot of really awesome people. And if you get a little bit drunk while you're doing it. Whereas the 6 months beforehand is just like a solid sort of sending out email invitations and chasing people up and trying to figure out time differences and not cock them up, which happened a couple of times. Oops. So, yeah, it's really hard. I probably will do it again, but not for a good couple of years. It's too hard.
Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on here and discussing podcasting and voice acting and stuff.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love it when people ask me on to things as though I'm some sort of expert when I don't really know anything about it. It's great. But I just love talking, so I'll do anything. I will.
Okay. And I hope that if you would like to come on later when we get more into the audio series.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe discuss how it's gone and what we've learned and everything from then.
Yeah, that's great. That'd be fine by me.
Okay. So if anybody wants to check out anything 10 Universe, you can go to 10universe.blogspot.com. And like Stacey mentioned earlier, go and donate to the Alzheimer's charity. It's really a good cause to donate to. And I hope I don't end up just hanging up on you, like, abruptly, because I don't know how to actually hang up on this thing, so.
Oh, dear. Well, if you do, I won't be offended.
Okay. So, thanks for coming on again, and when I get this all edited and I'll put it up, I'll let you know and everything.
Brilliant. Cool. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks very much, dear. And you.
Bye.